You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Well, the Pirates lost today, but I guess something good sort of came out of today's game, and that is the return of Stephen Brault. Joining us now is our good friend from the Post-Gazette, Jason Mackey, who covers the Pirates. And Jason, I mean, he didn't light the world on fire, but I thought Stephen Brault, all things considered, looked pretty good today.
Yeah, I did too. I did too, Paul. And I think what Stephen Brault offers, and he talked about this after the game, is just stability. Well, maybe he didn't talk about it. Derek Shelton talked about it. But, like, you know, you should know what you're getting from Stephen Brault every fifth day. And honestly, for the Pirates right now and the shape of their rotation, you can't count on that all that much. You would have hoped that Chad Kuhl would give you that, and he's down with COVID right now. Tyler Anderson did give them that. He's now a member of the Seattle Mariners. They don't have many guys like that. And I guess that's good and bad. Like, they're going to be able to take a look at some guys who are younger and trying to prove themselves. Like, Bryce Wilson is one of them. Will Crow has done that for a lot of this season. Hopefully they get Miguel Ujure back. But Brault is and should be consistent. And it was a short outing, but he was around the plate. He talked a little bit about needing to get some jitters out early. But I thought he did that, and I thought Brault did what we've seen him do a lot. Establishes fastball. He works fast. He's got a couple decent pitches and, you know, kind of a slidery thing. You know, throw a loopy curve every once in a while. I like his changeup a lot, but really it's establishing his fastball. And, you know, he was able to do that.
Well, and I think that's the thing. You bring up that's a great word for this team. They need some stability. They need some guys that they can count on to, you know, are going to, you know, take the ball every fifth day, or, you know, show up every day. They need a few more of those guys, don't they?
They do. They do. And, you know, like, I probably left J.P. Brubaker out of that initial answer, and he should be in there. He's done that. He's done a very good job of taking the ball every fifth day. And, you know, he's had some dips, and that's fine. And you're going to have that. And even the best go through slumps. But, you know, I liked what Brubaker did his last start out. And another guy that I should mention that we should be watching, I know you wrote about him, is Mitch Keller. He has shown the total opposite of consistency thus far, but he's going to get a chance the rest of the way to show his manager, show the coaching staff or whatever, that he deserves a job. And, you know, I don't think that if Mitch Keller pitches poorly down the stretch, like, he's going to be unemployed, but I think that it's a very important stretch of his career to prove himself and to show that he can produce results. And, you know, when we talk about Stephen Brault, and I brought up Tyler Anderson, like, something that stands out to me about those guys, and just veteran pitchers in general, like, you're not always going to have your best stuff, and you need to figure out how to get people out. And Mitch doesn't know how to do that yet. I hope he learned that, and I think he will learn that. But, you know, that's something that all veteran pitchers or successful pitchers figure out at some point or another, or the length beats you up and you end up not being able to stick. But, like, when you don't have your A stuff, what can you do to get people out? And I want to see that out of Keller.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's where we're at. I would say this. The other thing is, Jason, that they've got to find out about some of the guys that have been sort of bouncing around, you know, for the last few years, have been in those minor leagues that have, you know, maybe even some high draft picks like Cole Tucker. I mean, now's the time to find out about those guys, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, because at the end of the season, I think fans are making a little bit too much out of the Rule 5 crunch. Like, this is not the 40-man roster of, you know, I don't know, the 27 Yankees or whatever. I don't think it was the same roster rules, but you get the point. You know, this isn't the world's greatest baseball team. Like, if they have to whack some people off this roster, I'm okay with it. But at the same time, like, you do need to make decisions. They are going to have to figure out what they have, what they don't have, what they need. Who they can afford to lose or whatever. And that's what this final stretch should be. And it absolutely should be for Tucker. He should be front and center there. Like, I want to see him up, you know, very soon. I'm okay letting him produce a little bit more, maybe get his confidence up in AAA if that's the route they want to go. But you want to see what he has. You want to see what Michael Chavis has. You know, their stance right now on Tucapito Marcano, the headline of the Frazier trade, they want to see him grow. I don't think there's as much of a rush there, and I agree with that. That's fine. He's only 21. But, you know, in saying that, you also want to see Anthony Alford. Like, what is he? What can he be? You know, bring him up and give him a chance. These guys may or may not be a part of your organization in the future. I look at Polanco, and, you know, he's been good over the past month, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, something like that. Like, he's actually been a productive player. But he has no future with the organization, not as far as I can tell. I mean, you're not going to pick up his option. So you might as well use that playing time to see who is going to be part of your organization. And like you said, Paul, it should include Cole Tucker. It should include anybody. They don't feel like they have a handle on who they are at this point.
No, absolutely. Now, just backtracking a little bit, Jason, you know, the Pirates had a pretty good approach and strategy going into the draft. And needless to say, I mean, it really feels like they executed about as well as you can. They got pretty much all their, you know, main guys signed, including two guys who had really good options to go play college football. All in all, a great day, isn't it?
Man, they knocked that out of the park. Absolutely. You probably get this on your show. I get it in, you know, chats or emails or people reading my stuff. Like, I don't think Ben Cherington and his staff have experienced the bigger sort of momentum shifter in terms of, like, people believing what they're doing and buying into a future-based plan. I think it was really important for them. I think it's really important for them because of what they got out of the draft in terms of, like, just baseball prospects. But I think it matters in terms of, like, buying capital and fan support and fans saying, okay, you stink now. We got it. The win-loss record is not good. But, like, I can see if there's a coherent plan here. And anybody who follows baseball, like, in the business or how you build teams or whatever, if you're not encouraged by what Ben Cherington has done thus far, I don't know what to tell you. You know, he's had two really good drafts. He's executed a couple really good trades. You're not going to win them all, but they're showing signs of thinking about things differently. Even player development, that's something I'm writing about for Sunday Against Talk to John Baker, a guy they hired. They have different strategies on this. Like, this is not the same old Pirates regime. They are very different than the last one. And the last one probably would have played it safe. They wouldn't have, you know, took the chance that Cherington did with this one. And again, getting five of the top 100, signing them all, getting the talent they did. I mean, I can't say enough what a great job they did and how much that sort of buys them in terms of fan support.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. There were people who were kind of, you know, started almost immediately after they traded for, what, 9 guys or 10 guys or whatever it was. But, you know, they turned, you know, Adam Frazier and company into, like, what, 10, 11 guys or whatever, plus all the
yep.
draft picks, and people all of a sudden started on about the Rule 5 and how are they going to protect all these guys? And it's like, good
yeah,
Lord.
It's just that, you know, like, last week it was the Rule 5 crowd. This week it's like, is Ke'Bryan Hayes broken? You know what? And, like, before I started doing this job for a living, I was probably one of the ones, too, that was riding the wave saying, what is this, blah, blah, blah. And that's cool. And it's awesome that, like, people have something to talk about. And I'm not going to sit here and, like, you know, cast stones at people for caring about the Pirates. My God, you know, all of the entertainment options out there or whatever, but, like, I'm just saying it's going to be okay. It's not the most competitive 40-man roster. Like, I hope this is the start of many, many discussions about the 40-man roster and Rule 5 and this, that, and the other. Like, I hope they get to that point where they have that many competitive slots. They're not there right now. Yeah, and it is funny just to, like, think back about the trades and, like, everybody's all on Cherington about, you know, you didn't get enough for Frazier. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. Like, one, you haven't seen those guys play. Two, we don't know. And three, like, look at what the guy's done before. You know, I'm not saying it's going to work out, but, like, this is the same guy that executed the draft strategy, same guy who's executed some really good trades, same guy who's done the development thing and improved that. Like, we can automatically say his trade return sucks? I don't think we can. I think we should just, like, let it play out and maybe wait.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, I can't, you know, I think when you bring that many players into your organization, you're going to hit on a few of them, which is, you know, what most people don't realize is you're not going to hit on all of them. But if you flood the system with a bunch of guys, you know, unless you've been completely off in your scouting, you're going to hit on some of them, which is what they're trying to do.
I know. No, I know. It's sort of a running joke with a couple of scouts that I talk to, and it'll come up like once a conversation. Say, well, they can't all suck. They're not all going to suck. You know, like you say that jokingly, but like there's some truth to it, right? You know, they're not going to all be terrible. They're going to find some guys. And I look at their draft, like if they can hit all five of those guys that they took, the top 100 prospects, you know, I'm talking about Davis, Solomito, Bubba Chandler, Lonnie White Jr., and Braylon Bishop, like if they turn into like stud prospects, that's awesome. Chances are they're not going 5-for-5. But also chances are they're not going 0-for-5. You know, it's going to be somewhere in the middle. And I like what Ben has done thus far, and I try to tell people, like, he didn't suddenly turn stupid. He's not going to suddenly blow something that big. Like, there's going to be some return here. I don't know who exactly it's going to be. I don't think they do either, but there's enough players here that somebody's going to pan out.
Well, one of the other subjects that keeps coming up is the, you know, Brian Reynolds and his future. I mean, they don't have to make a decision quite yet, but boy, the more and more you watch the guy play, the more you realize they've got a really good baseball player on their hands and one that they should probably try and keep in the fold for as long as they possibly can.
No doubt. No doubt. And you know what? Like in the Pirates' defense, Paul, I was thinking about this earlier today. It's a really weird negotiation for them because of the shortened season. And what I mean by that is like, okay, so he has a really good 2019, and they approach him after 2019 going into 2020 to try to, you know, talk extension. And, you know, okay, Reynolds kind of doesn't want to have it. And so he has 2020, and he largely stinks. And, you know, I think they went back at him, and he kind of, or, you know, he went back to them, and they were a little bit, not quite sure about that number. And so, like, you've had two drastically different years to compare it. And then I think this year kind of broke the tie for Reynolds. And you've seen two just tremendous years. We can tell now that 2020 for him was a blip. We have a much greater picture of his value. And his value is really, really good. And the Pirates have to realize, like, you can't sell the future to this fan base without somebody being tethered to what you're building. And Reynolds can go arbitration. He can go to year-to-year, whatever. And, like, there's nothing wrong with that. But I don't know how you're going to get a fan base to buy into your franchise player being an arb guy who just, you know, goes yearly through the raises. Like, you need to put a stake in the ground and say, like, this is our guy, buy his jersey, he's going to be here, and make him do a lot worse than Brian Reynolds. The trick of that, and I'll make the second point short, but, like, we're seeing it with Ke'Bryan Hayes. You know, he had an awesome 2020, he had a pretty good start to 21, gets hurt, he's been kind of up and down, and lately he's been a lot down. And so what's his value? And I don't think we know. He's played 78 games, I believe. So, like, this stuff can change when you're talking about such a small sample size. I still think Hayes is going to be part of the future. It's just like when we're talking about extensions to young guys who are early in their careers, it's hard to come up with a value immediately.
Yeah, it is. Well, Jason, I appreciate you jumping on, and great stuff as always. I'm sure we'll do it again soon.
All right, man. Thanks for having me, Paul. Take care. Have a good night.
All right. That's Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette on Paul Zeiss. It's 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.